This teaching is going to be on what we say, or you have what you say, or the tongue. The Bible calls the tongue a very, very powerful instrument. In fact, with your tongue, you have what you say, whether good or bad. Now, I want to read some scriptures to you to start out with today from James chapter 1. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now that's in James 1:26. And then let's go on down to James 3. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and it setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now that's in James 3, 5, 6, and 8. That's true. No man can control the tongue. But praise the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, if you will yield yourself to the Holy Spirit can most definitely control your tongue. But that is the only way you can do it. You have to let the Holy Spirit be in control. Ask Him with your own mouth every day to control your tongue for you. And you will find it makes a great difference. God's word that is conceived in your heart, then formed by the tongue and spoken out of your own mouth, becomes a spiritual force releasing the ability of God within you. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now that's in Philippians 4:13. Many of us have quoted that verse many times, but we do not realize, or most of us have never realized really how powerful that verse is. But it literally says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, of course, that's if you believe that. In other words, your spirit has received God's word. It was not Paul's ability that made him say that, but the ability of God formed in him by the word, and out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth spoke. Thus, if we say we can, and those that say they can't are both right. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. We read in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We must learn to use our words more effectively. The words you speak will either put you over or hold you in bondage. Today, many Christian people have been taken captive by their own words. By the prayer of their own mouth, they have been set in a position where they cannot receive from God. We have all done it at one time or another. We have used our tongue to form the very words that defeated us. We have even prayed contrary to the word of God. We have prayed defeat and received it. We have prayed the problem and it became a greater problem. Even prayer produces after its kind. Now in Mark 11:24, the word of God says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now Jesus has set forth a great truth about spiritual law. God's word is spiritual law. It functions just as sure as any natural law. We have learned how to work with natural law. And dealing with the natural law that governs electricity, we have learned that if we work with that law by obeying and enforcing it, that electrical force will work for us. But if we continually violate that law that governs or controls electricity, we will get in a heap of trouble. As long as we enforce the law that controls electrical forces, it will produce energy to give us light. It'll heat our homes. It'll cook our meals. It'll wash our clothes. And yet it will produce no harm to us. It is very useful and safe when we understand and apply the law by which it is controlled. However, this same force can burn you, can kill and destroy you, if the law that governs electricity is not enforced. So are the words that come forth out of your mouth. They will work for you to put you over in life. If you control those words and bring them into obedience to a spiritual law, which is the Word of God, words governed by spiritual law become spiritual forces working for you. Idle words work against you. Now, the spirit world is controlled by the Word of God. The natural world is to be controlled by man speaking God's words. The spoken Word of God is creative power. There is great power in the Word of God. Therefore, even the words of our prayer should be chosen carefully and spoken accurately. We have often prayed, "Lord, I have prayed and it's not working out. The devil has defeated me." But the Word says, "What things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive." Defeat is not what you desire. So don't pray it or say it. You can see how the wrong choice of words can cause even your prayers to work against you. You have prayed, "Lord, I've got this problem and it's getting worse." Now let's compare this prayer with the Word of God. First, you have prayed the problem and not the answer. The Word said, "Pray the things you desire." You desire the answer. Second, you have released faith in the ability of the enemy. To make it worse, you establish the words of the devil. That prayer doesn't work, and things are getting worse. You are walking by sight and not by faith. You have denied the Word of God. You have done it because of the lack of knowledge. And Hosea 4:6, God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Lack of knowledge has caused men to be destroyed and lives to suffer needless loss. You know, spiritual law is for your good. It is to produce the things you need and desire. But speaking and praying contrary to the Word of God, which is spiritual law, will be just as disastrous as violating the laws of electricity. We have prayed in all manner of prayer that the Bible doesn't teach. We have prayed to Jesus, and that is an unscriptural way to pray. Words are important. Begin now to become word conscious. Words are like little seeds that produce after their kind. Learn to pray according to the Word of God. God's Word will produce after His kind. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Now that's in Matthew 12:35. Jesus said, "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Before now, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. That's John 16:23-24. Now, prayer is your legal right to use faith-filled words to bring God on the scene in your behalf, or for another, that your joy may be full. It is the Word abiding in you that causes faith to be present in your words. "If you abide in me," Jesus said, "and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." John 15:7-8. Notice it glorifies the Father when you get your prayers answered and your needs met. Verse 11 says that those things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Your joy can be full if the word of Mark 11:24 abide in you. When you pray, believe. Faith will make prayer work. Now, what is faith? Faith is the word of God. Faith is knowing what God's word says and acting on it.
Praise.
Now, faith will make prayer work, but prayer won't work without faith. Faith will work without prayer. Prayer is one of the means of releasing faith. So if we will line ourselves up with the Word of God and release our faith when we pray, we will see the power of God come alive in our lives. God's Word is just as powerful today as it was the day He spoke it. Not one bit of power has left God's Word. God's creative power is still in His Word, just as it was when He stood there in the beginning of time and said, "Let there be light," and light was. This is the thing I want you to see. You can speak God's words after Him, and they will work for you. But they must be formed in your spirit. They must become a part of you. They must abide in you continually. In Genesis 1, it says, God created the heavens and the earth. What did He use to create the heavens and the earth? Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The world was not made out of things you can see. You can't see spoken words, nor can you see faith with the physical eye. The words that God spoke out of His mouth framed this universe. It set it in motion, and it stands today in obedience to the words that God spoke. He said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters," in Genesis 1:6. And it came into being and divided the waters from the land, and is still divided from the land today. The universe is still obeying His command. The words that God spoke, because God said it and let it stay said. He didn't back up and say, maybe it will, or I hope it'll work. No, He said it by the words of His mouth, and all hell stood up and took notice. I really believe that millions of years took place between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, when God created the earth, in verse 2, where He said the earth was void and without form. Because why would God create an earth without form and void? You see, what went wrong from the beginning was that Satan had come in to destroy the work of God on the earth. And now, there was darkness on the face of the earth. Then God said, "Let there be light." It was the creative power that flowed out of God's mouth that turned the universe into light and caused every creation to come into being. Praise the Lord. In Genesis 1:26, we read, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Then God delegated the power to man to dominate this earth. He created Adam. Then He put that authority in Adam, and He said, "Now you dominate the earth." So Adam was the ruler of the earth. Then there came that snake in the garden. The snake said to Eve, "You'll not surely die. If you eat of that fruit, God knows that you'll be like Him. If you eat of that fruit, you'll be wise like God." He hadn't changed much in 6,000 years, has He? Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. And I guess she talked Adam into it because the word says, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now that's in 1 Timothy 2:14. Well, anyway, Adam ate of the fruit, and he turned that power and authority over to the enemy. Then Satan became the god of this world, and whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, and they would be saved. Now that's found in 2 Corinthians 4:4. But Jesus came and got that power back for us, praise the Lord. Jesus, God's Word, came and took flesh upon himself. Have you ever wondered how God did that? Theologians say it can't be done. A virgin can't bear a child. It's impossible. We have the Word of God, which tells us in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. The New Testament says it will not be impossible with God to fulfill his ever declaration. Well, we know that with God nothing is impossible. In fact, the Lord even tells us, with those of us that believe, nothing is impossible with us, in Mark 9:23. Whatever God says, he will perform it. If you will notice throughout the Bible, God never did do anything that he didn't say first. He said it, then he did it. The power to do it was in the Word. The Bible tells us that he is upholding all things by the word of his power, Hebrews 1:3. It didn't say by the power of his word. It said by the word of his power. The Holy Spirit put that in the exact order, the way he wanted, the word of his power. If he had said the power of his word, that would have meant that there is some power in God's word, but not all power. In other words, that's where his power is, in the word, in what he says. It's not impossible for God to perform his every declaration. He can declare and do exactly what he says he's going to do. And we find that God created man with the ability to operate in this very same kind of faith. So be careful. Control your words that come forth out of your mouth, and bring them into obedience to the Word of God, which is God's spiritual law. Be very careful what you say, because you have what you say with your mouth. Praise the Lord. Now, man was created in the image of God and his likeness. There was power that flowed out of the mouth of God, and you were created in the image of God. Then, according to the scriptures and what Jesus said, you have the same ability dwelling or residing on the inside of you. Now, Adam gave man's authority over to Satan, but Jesus got that authority back. He was born of a virgin. The way he was born of a virgin was the way that God created the universe. God said it will be done, and it is not impossible for God to perform his every declaration. When he found a woman who agreed with him, it could be done. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? In Luke 1:34. She didn't doubt it could be done. She just asked how. And he said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Now that's in Luke 1:35. In verse 38, Mary said, be it done unto me according to your word. Now she agreed with the word, establishing that fact upon the earth, and it came into being. Now is it so unreasonable to believe that? Now God said in his word that we are born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's in 1 Peter 1:23. The word of God implanted into your spirit caused you to become a new creation that never existed before. born again of the Spirit of the living God. The rebirth of the human spirit took place because the Word of God lodged in your spirit. It caused you to act upon the Word, and you were born again. You became a new creation. You were once a sinner, but now you're born again, the righteousness of God, fully able to stand in the presence of the Father in holy boldness and say, Father, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus, without fear of condemnation, because I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm not a poor old worthless sinner crawling around in the dust begging and pleading. Dear Lord, help me please, as some songs say. No, we are the righteousness of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That word planted in your spirit caused you to become a new creation because the Word of God declares it. Now I want you to see how God caused a virgin to conceive and bear a child. The virgin said, "Be it done unto me according to your word." The Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us," in John 1:14. Now the Word was in the beginning with God. The Word came unto Mary and said, "It will be so." Mary said, "I receive it. Be it done unto me according to your word." She first received the word into her spirit or her heart. Then it was manifest in her physical body. The Word of God was implanted into her womb. It was the embryo, the seed, and it took upon itself flesh, just as the living Word of God placed in your spirit took upon itself new creation or new life. The Word of God literally formed within her womb and took flesh upon it. The Word of God became alive, living, walking, and talking on this earth. He came here to destroy the work of the devil that was done in Adam. The work that was done in Adam was destroying the creation of God and the ability of God to work through man. Now, when Jesus came, he got the authority back. Praise the Lord. And he delegated it back to man, to the believer. Now, Jesus stood on the mountain before he ascended and said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, this is in Matthew 28:18. He had it all. Then he turned to the believer and said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Mark 16:17-18. Jesus is saying, "Now you go in my name. You cast out demons. You speak with new tongues. You lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Now you see God's power, God's authority delegated back to man. So man is not restored to his original state, which he was. He is in better shape now than he has ever been. Thank God. The born-again man is a joint heir with Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. If Jesus is the righteousness of God, then you are the righteousness of God in Christ. We need to quit praying and saying, "Lord, I'm unworthy." Say, "Thank God. If Jesus is not unworthy, you're not unworthy. You have a right to stand in the throne room of God because of what Jesus did for you on that cross." We've been beaten down, and the devil has just trampled us in the dust because of a sense of unworthiness. I'll tell you, when this word gets in your spirit, you'll never be the same. If you'll just lay hold of this word, rise up and enter into it. The enemy knows there is power in your words or in your mouth. That is why he tries so desperately to get you to confess doubt, fear, and unbelief. You see, confessing that you are unworthy after being born again is contrary to the Word of God. You were unworthy, but that old man died with Christ. You are now a new creature in Christ. Anyone in Christ cannot be unworthy. The Word says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and is not imputing or counting their trespasses unto them, and he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Now that's written in 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. Now let's see what Jesus had to say about faith-filled words. I want you to see how he used his words and how they produced for him. In Mark chapter 11, verse 11 through 14, we read, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the evening time was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon to eat. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now Jesus had gone to the fig tree to get some figs, and they found none. And he said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And he just walked off. When they came back that way the next day, verse 21 says, the disciples called Jesus' attention to the fig tree. They said, the leaves are withered. That thing died from the roots. Did you notice that, Jesus? The tree you cursed. The word curse means that Jesus spoke negativism to it. He spoke negatively to that tree. Now I want you to notice the words that the Bible uses. It said he put a curse on the fig tree. Now we as believers have put curses on people by the words of our mouth. I've heard people do it. Someone would come and get saved in the service, and they would say, oh, I know them. They get saved every time we have a revival. You just watch. They'll go away, and in 3 weeks, they'll be right back in sin. And sure enough, they were back in sin. They thought that was a prophetic utterance, but it wasn't. It was a curse. And they said, see, I told you so. They were part of the problem. The words of their mouth worked against that person. Instead of putting faith-filled words there by saying God's power is enough to keep them, God's power is enough to hold them, God's power will deliver them, and they'll not fall, I believe they'll stand. They have been deceived by the evil one to tear down what God was trying to build by the words of their own mouth. Now I want you to notice that Jesus knew there was power in his words. When he spoke to the fig tree, it withered and died. Now notice in verse 22, he said, if you have the God kind of faith, look what you can do. And then he quoted verse 23. Now Jesus stopped long enough to tell his disciples how the God kind of faith works. Now then let's see what you can do. Verse 23 and 24 is absolutely two of the most powerful faith scriptures in the whole Word of God. And you and I need to know how faith works. If you have faith in your heart, and it's a God kind of faith, the Bible says in Romans 12:3, God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And it is a God kind of faith. He didn't say a measure. He said the measure. It is the same measure everybody got when they were born again. The problem is some haven't developed it. The Word tells you how to develop your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now that's in Romans 10:17. Now the literal Greek says, faith cometh by report, and that report comes from God. Hearing what God said will build faith inside you, because he's able to perform his ever declaration. Now Jesus tells you how to apply that God kind of faith and get it to work. Perhaps you've tried it in all kinds of ways. You've tried it by bombarding the gates of heaven, by just praying it over and over and over, and you found that didn't work. Well, let's see something that does work, and let's act on it. Here is what Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now that's Mark chapter 11, verse 23. He didn't say just the things you say to the mountain. He said those things which you saith, everything you say. You must watch what you say. You have to believe that those things that you say, everything you say, will come to pass. That will activate the God kind of faith within you. And those things which you say will come to pass. He shall have. He didn't say he had it then, did he? He said he shall have whatsoever he saith. One of the translations says he shall have whatsoever he is saying. In other words, it shows he's continually saying that. The Bible says, let us hold fast to the profession or confession of our faith. Hebrews 10:23. It didn't say hold fast to your prayer. When you hold fast to your prayer, you're holding fast to your problem, because most of the time you've prayed the problem. Turn loose of the problem and get hold of your confession. Quit praying the problem and start saying the answer. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. When you prayed and said, Lord, the mountain's getting bigger. It's not getting any better. I prayed and it's not working out. You were holding on to the problem. You haven't got to the answer. You're not there yet. You're still too involved with the problem. The answer is in your confession. The answer is in believing and confessing what the Word says. The Word says that it will be removed and cast into the sea. We should continually affirm and confess this. I thank God, though it looks like the mountain's getting bigger. In the name of Jesus, I see it removed by the eye of faith. By the eye of faith, I see it removed. There is creative power within you. Learn to use it wisely and watch every word that comes forth out of your mouth. Now, when you continually affirm and confess, I thank God, though it looks like the mountains or the problems getting bigger, it's not. In the name of Jesus, I see it removed by the eye of faith. Somebody will say, only a crazy person will say that. If the mountain's still there, if the trouble is still there, and you know it's there, you can't deny its existence. Now, I don't deny the existence of the mountain. I deny the right of it to exist in my way. I don't see it as being in my way. I see it in the way the Word said it. It's removed. The Word says, the just shall live by faith. Now that's in Hebrews 10:38, and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. But a lot of Christians are walking by sight and not by faith. Let me give you an illustration. Suppose you're driving down a highway at 60 miles per hour. Someone pulls out ahead of you, say 3 or 4 blocks up there, and they're right in the middle of the road crossways. They're crossing the road right in front of you. You slam on your brakes and say, there's a car right in the middle of the road. A car from behind hits you, and suddenly there's a 10-car pileup. Somebody said, what's wrong with you? You say, well, there was a car in the road. Well, sure it was, but it was doing 30 miles an hour. Just 2 more seconds, it would have been plumb across the road. You were going totally by what you saw. You observed what was there, then you slammed on the brakes. That's what a lot of Christian people are doing. You're saying, whoa, it's still there. You have established it. But if you will confess it's removed, praise God, when you get there, it's going to be gone. You see, if you drive your car the way you've been driving your spiritual life, you would have wrecked that thing a dozen times. You can see that, can't you? You don't pay any attention to the car out there 3 blocks or 4 blocks up the road. The computer in your head is telling you he's going 30 miles an hour. In 2 more seconds, he'll be on the other side of the highway. There's no danger. I'll just keep going. And you sit there and you see that car. You never flinch. You never reach for the brakes. You just drive along perfectly at ease. Why? Because you have faith in what that guy's doing. You're actually believing something you are not seeing. You're believing the end results. Driving your car successfully is based on split-second timing. Now, he may decide to just throw on his brakes right there and stop. Then you would want to know what was wrong with him. Apply that when the storms of life come against you and the devil says, look here, you will never be able to get over that. Just ignore him and say, thank God, I believe the word. It will not be there when I get there. That kind of faith will move mountains. You may get to the foot of the mountain sometimes before it moves. It will either move or there will be a hole coming in. But if you go to mealy-mouthing around and say, I believe it's getting slower, I don't believe it's going to leave, you're in trouble. Jesus said, say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. Say what you want done with it. Don't go to God and pray, dear God, it's getting worse. He said that you can have what you say. And you said, it's getting worse. That ought to tell you something. Jesus said, the God kind of faith works by the words of your mouth. There is no release of the God kind of faith without the words of the mouth. It is released by the words of your mouth. Now in Luke 17, 5 and 6, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. Give us more faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the roots and be cast into the sea, and it should obey you. They were standing there by that tree. It probably wasn't close to a mountain. He said that tree should obey you. He didn't say a word about increasing their faith. In other words, he said you've got to learn to use what you have. He said, the way you use it is to start saying something in faith. Many people have desired healing. They want a harvest of healing and a harvest of physical needs met, but they have never planted a seed. The law of Genesis says everything produces after its own kind. Now, I could be the best wheat farmer in the state of Texas. And I could sit in my house and say, praise God, I believe in wheat. My grandfather believed in wheat. My daddy believed in wheat. My brother believes in wheat. Everybody ought to have a field of wheat. I could have 10 tons of seed on a truck waiting to be planted. But if I just sat there and praise God because I believe in wheat and never act on what I know to plant the seed, I'll never harvest any wheat. A lot of Christians are doing that. They're saying, I believe the Lord's able. Yes, brother, I believe he's able to heal me. Well, the devil knows that the Lord is able. That's no profound statement. The thing you must determine is, will he? The word says he will. Then you must start agreeing with that. The word is what works. It's not our prayer that works. It's the word and faith that works. Prayer won't make faith work. We thought if we just pray long enough, it would soon work out. No, it won't. We need to get this straightened out. Faith will make prayer work, but prayer won't make faith work. Faith will work without prayer, but prayer won't work without faith. Now that we have determined from the Word of God that you can have what you say, not many people do because they have never controlled their words. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. I'm just telling you what he said. Now, I'm smart enough to believe that Jesus knew what he was talking about. Jesus has made a profound statement that you can have what you say. Now, let's read 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How is grace and peace going to be multiplied to you? Through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Now, what is some of the knowledge of God? How his faith works. How does God's faith work? If you find how his faith works, you will know how your faith is going to work. God never did anything without saying it first. And you hardly do either. You say, I'm going to town, I'm going to work, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. You always say it before you do it. You're programmed to operate that way. So if you don't say some things in faith concerning some of the things you believe, you will never operate in faith in those areas. The Word says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now, 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, his divine power has given unto us all things. All things. How? Through the knowledge of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is saying that if you get the knowledge of God, then you have the understanding of God, the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of God is the Word of God. Then he said that he has given to you by his divine ability all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, if healing doesn't pertain to life, what does? Finances also pertain to life. Paul said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, that's Philippians 4:19. Now, many times people quote that verse right there, and they don't start with verse 13. But in Philippians 4:13, Paul starts talking about those people right over there in Philippi, and how they've been giving abundantly to the ministry. And so because they have given, then Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. I will have to say one thing right here. God will not bless a thief. If you're not a tither, forget it. You'll never be blessed abundantly. He will not bless a thief. So whatever you do, be obedient to the Word of God and give the Lord, through your church, the first 10% of all your increase. Then he says, having abundant supplies to life and godliness, you ought to have abundance in the name of Jesus. The Word says you can if you act on the Word of faith and if you begin to do it. Now, it will not happen overnight, I can assure you. That's the thing I want to bear hard on here. It absolutely won't happen overnight. It won't happen just because you say it one or two times. It's going to happen because you continually affirm what God's Word says until it gets into your spirit and becomes a part of you. Now, James chapter 1, verse 21, the Lord told us here, says, receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. He said the Word of God engrafted into your spirit will save your soul. Now, the Word of God engrafted into your spirit will deliver you from every circumstance of life. Now, if you have the Word for it, get it into your spirit. It will deliver you if you will continuously believe and affirm, I don't care how big the mountain looks, you should not be moved by what you see. You should only be motivated by what you believe. The Word is the final authority. Now in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, we read, whereby, or by this, by the divine ability of God, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. What nature? The divine nature of God. He said you are partakers of God's nature. Praise the Lord. Partakers of God's nature. What kind of nature does God have? Righteousness. Righteousness. Not unworthy nature. God doesn't have any of that old unworthiness. He is righteousness. He said you're partakers of the righteousness of God by what he done in Christ. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Now that's in 2 Corinthians 5:21. The very nature of God should dominate your spirit when you are born again. Now I didn't say it automatically dominates your body. That is where a lot of folks have it all messed up. When they were born again, they thought their body got saved. They thought their head got saved. Later, they wanted to do some things that were wrong after they were born again. The devil said, if you were saved, you wouldn't want to do that. You must not have received anything. You must not have been saved, or you wouldn't have thought those bad thoughts. Goodness, think of those bad words you just said. And you know if you was really born again, those old thoughts and those words wouldn't have come out of your mouth. Well, folks, I have news for you. Your head didn't get saved. Your body didn't get saved. Your spirit was born again. You were created the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus with God on the inside. Now, he must permeate outwards, and the spirit man must bring the body into subjection to the spirit. You have to mortify some deeds of your body to go to church. To hear God's word, or to hear any of these words, this body, the flesh, has to be disciplined to the word of God. Your body does not always want to do the things your spirit would do, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would want to do. That's what Galatians 5:17 says. Sometimes your body will say, oh, I'd rather not. And the spirit man on the inside of you will say, get your body up. You're going to church. Either your spirit or your body is going to dominate you. And when you're born again, your spirit is supposed to dominate the body. You notice the word supposed to. Sometimes your spirit doesn't dominate because you fail to act on what you know. The Word said, you are partakers of the divine nature of God. If you are partakers of the divine nature of God and God spoke and caused creation into being, what do you think is going to happen when you start saying some things in faith? Jesus said, you can have whatsoever you say if you doubt not and believe in your heart the things you are speaking. In the book of James, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and he is able also to bridle the whole body." Now let's read that verse again. Only this time let's read it amplified. "For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he is a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature." Now, verse 3 says, "If we set bits in the horse's mouth, it makes them obey us. We can turn their whole bodies about." Now, the Greek word that has been translated offend in the King James Version of the Bible is translated stumble in the Amplified Version. "For in many things we stumble." Now, if any man stumbles not in word, now doesn't that change the meaning of the situation? If you don't stumble in your wording, he said, the same as a perfect man, and he's able to bring his whole nature into obedience. You can understand that we have stumbled with our words. Now, verse 3 in the King James Version says, "Behold, we have put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." He said the thing that is in the horse's mouth causes the whole horse to turn in any direction. Verse 4 to 6 says, "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm or with a rudder. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell itself." Now that same verse in the Amplified reads, "If we set bits in the horse's mouth to make them obey us, we can turn their whole bodies about. Likewise, look at the ship. Though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the impulse of the helmsman determines. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it can boast of great things. See how much wood, or how great a forest a tiny spark can set ablaze? And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of wickedness which is set among our members, contaminating and depriving the whole body, and setting on fire the wheel of birth, the cycle of man's nature, being itself ignited by hell," or Gehenna. Let me tell you in common words what he's saying. He said you cut bits in a horse's mouth and turned a whole horse. He said a great big ship weighing hundreds of thousands of tons is turned in any direction with just a very small rudder on the back of it. He goes on to say the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue. "So put among our members that it can defile the whole body, and it setteth on fire the course of nature," or as the Amplified says, "the wheel of our birth, the cycle of man's nature." That means, if you have inherited good health from your parents, if your grandfather was healthy, if good health just generally runs in your family, then more than likely you will be healthy. When you buy an insurance policy, you must have a medical examination. The doctor will ask you how healthy your parents and grandparents were, and did they die with this or that. They can tell a whole lot about how long you're going to live from the answers to these questions. Now, the word says that the tongue can stop those natural forces. The tongue can destroy the very course of nature that causes you to be healthy. If you begin to say, I believe I'm coming down with a flu, or I believe I'm coming down with arthritis, or I got a cramp in my stomach, I believe I'm coming down with cancer. If you say that long enough, you probably will. You'll get it. I've had many people say, I'm afraid I got cancer. Well, I don't have any proof, but I just believe I've got it. Now, it says the tongue will set on fire the course of nature. It will destroy the life-giving flow in you that God put in you to heal you and make you whole. Everyone has natural healing power within your body. If you cut your finger, you don't have to be concerned about it. It knows how to heal itself. The healing power is in you. God put it in there, so don't even be concerned. Now, if you go to talking sickness and disease and defeat, you have released words that will produce after their kind. You can stop the natural healing power that God put in you by the words of your mouth. Many have stopped divine healing the same way by negative words. Now, verse 7 and 8 says, every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. Someone said, see, there is no use trying. The Bible says you can't tame it. No man can tame the tongue. The Amplified says, but the human tongue can be tamed by no man, and it is an undisciplined and irreconcilable, restless evil. It's full of death-bringing poison. And you know, you've got that thing in your mouth. Terrible, isn't it? He said, the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil that's full of deadly poison. It will poison your body. It will poison your spirit. It will poison your life. Or it will put you over in life. If used correctly, it will build life and health into your spirit and soul and body. He said, no man can tame the tongue, but thank God the Holy Spirit can tame the tongue. You have to be very careful what you say with your tongue. Peter was always spouting off at the mouth and saying what he would do. I'd die for you, he said. Well, I guess so. Jesus was standing right there. Yeah, I'll die for you. Later, someone said, I believe that man's one of them, and tried to accuse Peter of being a follower of Jesus, accused him of being a Christian, but they couldn't find enough evidence to convict him. No, Peter said, I don't know the man. Those words came right out of his mouth. He didn't have control of his tongue. It was dominated by fear. Of course, fear comes from the devil. But praise the Lord, let's see what happened after he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But after the day of Pentecost, when Peter was baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues, the power of God came inside him. Then Peter stood up and talked 3 minutes, and 3,000 souls were saved. There was power in his words now. Then he walked out of the upper room, and the first crippled man he came to, he said, I don't have any money, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. That's in Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Now, that old boy's eyes got big, and he said, nobody's ever talked to me like that. Everybody's always said, oh, bless your heart. It'll be worth it all someday. You're just suffering for the Lord. God's trying to teach you something. And when Peter said, such as I have, I give you, and in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. He said, I don't know what it is, but I want it. Praise God. Now, Peter took him by the hand and said, get up. And up he came. Now, Peter learned to control his tongue. I don't ever see where Peter got in any more trouble by his rash talking after the day of Pentecost. That ought to tell us something about the power of God. And the power of God started operating in Peter's life after he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. There's great power in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We should never go a day without asking the Lord, asking the Father in the name of Jesus to fill us with the Holy Spirit and power. Now, the Holy Spirit will tame your tongue if you will let him, if you will take heed to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit works on man from the inside out. Now then, as you can see, what you say can cause sickness and disease, or it can stop it. You can drive sickness and disease out of your body with the words of your mouth. You know, that is awesome, isn't it? The Word says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He was being made a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." That's in Galatians 3:13 and 14. Now then, all sickness and disease is under the curse. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Now that's in Deuteronomy 28:61. But praise God, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. I can't see where Jesus was ever sick until he became a curse for us on the cross. He was the body of Christ while he was here on earth, but now you are a member of the body of Christ. Therefore, when sickness or disease tries to fasten itself upon your body, you should make this confession: I'm the body of Christ. I am redeemed from the curse, and I forbid any sickness or disease to operate in this body. Every organ, every tissue of this body functions in the perfection to which God created it to function. Every organ, every tissue will function properly, for greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord for the great and awesome Holy Spirit. Goodness. Now, I've heard some folks come up to me and say, "Thurman, pray for me. I'm taking the flu." They got it termed right. They are taking it. Satan offered it to them. He said, "You got a runny nose and a neck ache. Now let's see what you're going to say about it." Then most people will side right in with the devil and begin to say the very thing he said: "I am taking the flu or a cold." The Word says, the Word of God says, "In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established." That's in 2 Corinthians 13. You may have a runny nose. You may have aches all over. That is how you feel, but what are you going to say about it? God's word is forever settled in heaven. It is already established there. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's in Psalms 119:89. The first thing most people do is to go tell their wife or husband, "I believe I'm taking the flu." You have released faith in sickness. You have established the words of the enemy in your life. And Jesus said you can have what you say. The Word, in essence, said the tongue will cause the healing power to stop. It will set on fire the wheels of lineage, or that which you have inherited. What you have inherited is natural healing power in your body. Now, don't misunderstand me. I am not talking about divine healing at this point, but the natural healing ability of the human body. Then all things being level, all things being right, and without Satan involved, any sickness that comes upon your body will cast it off and heal itself. That healing ability is in your body. But Satan has come on the scene, and he distorts these things, and he has found out that his ability is limited to what he can get you to say. Jesus said you can have what you say. Not many Christians know that, but Satan knows that, and he believes it. Just think back to the last time you had a cold or were sick. What was the first thing you wanted to do after you noticed the symptoms? Most Christians, you wanted to go tell somebody, "I'm sick," or "I feel so bad." And you probably did. Then you begin to get worse immediately. Being unaware, You activated a spiritual law that gave the authority you had to dominate your physical body over to the enemy. You established the words of the enemy instead of God's word. You have openly proclaimed, "I am sick." I beg your pardon. The word says you're healed. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes you were healed. Now that's 1 Peter 2:24. That's one of my favorite verses when it comes to healing. It don't say you're going to be. It says you were healed. Jesus already did it 2,000 years ago. He's not going to do any more to heal you. He has done everything he's going to do. Now it's up to you. Now you have to lay hold of what he said and deny that sickness the right to exist in your body. You have to lay hold upon it by faith. Confess the word of God over it and say, "I may hurt, but in the name of Jesus, I am not sick." Somebody said, "That sounds like you're crazy." Well, it may, but I'd rather be a well, crazy person than a sick one. It works. It works because God said it would. God tells you in his word you can have what you say. And I might stop right here and say that at the recording of this tape, 12 years ago, I learned these secrets. Actually, they're not secrets, but Satan has well hidden them from us. I began to say what I wanted, and I've not had one sick day since that time. And that's been 12 years ago. Praise the Lord. Most people are having what they say, but they say the wrong things. You know, there's lots of people will say, come up to you in church and say, I say, "How are you feeling?" And I say, "Well, I'm not feeling too well. I think I'm taking the flu." You know, I've had people say, "Pray for me." You know, your praying wouldn't do that person any good. You're wasting your time praying for that person. That person already believes the wrong thing. So you're going to have to stop and do some teaching. Because by the words of their mouth, they have released faith in the ability of the enemy to make them sick. Now that person has no scripture basis for that belief. They have been motivated by their physical feelings. But that's what most of us live around. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith and not by sight. We should learn to believe more in what God's word says rather than our feelings. Feelings change from day to day. The word of God never changes. It always stays the same, regardless of how you feel. How you feel has nothing to do with God's performing his word. I've seen people ask the pastor to come over and pray for me. The pastor would go over and pray with them and then say, "Do you believe you're healed?" And they would say, "Well, I sure do hope so." Well, they aren't. There's no need fooling yourself. There was no faith in that prayer. Hoping won't get it done. Hope has no substance. The Bible says the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And that's in James 5:15. Somebody said, "Yeah, but I still hurt," after they got through praying. Their faith was based totally on feelings, not on the word. It didn't say the prayer of faith will heal the sick. It said if they don't hurt after prayer. It says the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. We should say, "Thank God they prayed. I believe they prayed in faith, and I know I believe God. Therefore, I'm getting up in the name of Jesus." Now, I'm not fighting doctors. Don't misunderstand me. If you haven't learned to operate in this, go on to the doctor. He is your very best friend. Doctors are fighting the same evil with medical means. There's nothing wrong with going to your doctor. But learn to operate in the ability of God. Release the ability of God in you by the faith-filled words of your mouth. James said you can do it. He said, if you can control the tongue, you would have no trouble with the body. He said the tongue is to the physical body as bits are to a horse. They are both in the mouth, and they also have control of the physical body. He said if you would control the tongue, you would not have any trouble with the body. The body will obey words. The body has to be trained to act upon the word of God. Your body obeys the commands of your mind. You start saying this, I don't desire to eat so much that I become overweight, because this body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I do not desire to eat more than this body needs. And in the name of Jesus, I refuse to overeat. Start confessing that into your diet program. When you start using words to put you over instead of allowing them to hold you in bondage, that will work for you. Your words will work for you. Now, it won't work because you said it once. I didn't say that. I said start confessing it. Start confessing the things you desire, not the problems that exist. I've had people say, how long do I have to confess it? Let's just put it this way, until you get the desired results. You see, he said, control the words of your mouth. You have been confessing this? Oh, I know I've had enough, but I sure do want a piece of pie. I just love pie. I can't do without sweets. I guess I will get as big as a barn. I've actually heard people say these things. You said it in your mouth. I want a piece of pie. Your body starts desiring it right then. You build desires with words. Your body may have been trained in this manner. Mortify these desires by saying, no, in the name of Jesus, I don't desire any more food than I need. Somebody said, well, that would be lying. No, that's the spirit man talking. He is programmed with the word of God. And the spirit man says, I don't desire anything that would be harmful to the body. I know that if I overeat, it will be harmful to the body. Therefore, I'm speaking out of the spirit man and saying, I don't desire any more in the name of Jesus. Now you have set a law, a spiritual law, in motion. You have done something to your body. You said to your body, now just settle down. And you conform to the word of God in the name of Jesus. Yes, talk to it. Talk to your body. Now, I would advise you to do it quietly when in public, because people will give you a lot of room if they hear you. Jesus always spoke to the problem. He spoke the desired results, the end results. We would be wise to follow his example. I want you to see what Jesus had to say concerning this subject. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. That's in Matthew 12:33. Now Jesus told us a profound truth. What you speak out of your mouth is because it is abundantly in your heart. The symptoms came, and the devil said, I wonder what you've got. You said, I don't know. I wonder what I've got. He got out his little flip chart and said, do you believe you got the flu? No, I don't believe I have the flu. Well, do you believe you have a bad sore throat? Well, yeah, my throat does feel kind of raw. You must make a decision. Will you be motivated by what you feel? See? Here are the word of God. The words that Jesus bore your sicknesses in Matthew 8:17. And Isaiah 53:5 says, with his stripes we are healed. You begin to rationalize. I sure don't feel healed. I really don't look like I'm healed because my throat looks awful red. I really don't sound healed. My voice is getting raspy. The physical is won out over the word of God. So you say, honey, I'm sick. Bring me some medicine. Your voice penetrates every fiber of your being, even to your heart. Your tongue, the high authority, the controlling factor of the body and spirit, has declared it to be so, and all resistance to that virus ceases. You are indeed sick. You may say, yeah, but I was feeling bad before I ever said that. Yes, the symptoms came, but the enemy can't put anything on you without your consent. Now, he can cause you to feel like it's coming on. See, you go back to feeling there. That's why it's dangerous to live by your five physical senses, what you feel, see, hear, taste, and touch. Why don't you program yourself to the Word? Learn to program yourself by the Word of God. When you feel bad, say. Now, what does the Word say about that? Well, praise the Lord, the Word says, by His stripes I'm healed. Therefore, I won't receive your sickness, Satan. I just pass it up, thank you. If someone came to your door and offered you a sack of rattlesnake, would you just back off and say, well, I guess it's the will of the Lord. Just dump them right here in the living room. Oh, dear God, what am I going to do with all these snakes? Snakes in the pantry, snakes in the bathroom, snakes everywhere. Well, I guess this is my cross to bear. Well, you could have stopped it at the door. Be smart enough to shut the door. Say, no, thank you. I don't want any. Don't get up and testify to the whole church. I'm taking the flu. One night I heard a lady just announce it to the whole church. She said, I'm taking the flu. And most of the congregation said, you know, I believe she does look bad. You know, I did notice her eyes were watering. Yep, she's taking the flu. That's what it is. Now then, she has 100 people agreeing she has a flu. And Jesus said in Matthew 18:19, if just two of you shall agree on earth, you shall have whatever you say. In fact, as I learned these things and began to walk in these things, some people in my church thought I was crazy. I've even had people come to me and say, Thurman, you're carrying this healing business too far. You know you're going to be sick. And I just very boldly and gently and calmly say, I do not receive that curse in the name of Jesus. I will not be sick because Jesus has redeemed me from the curse of the law. And praise the Lord. For about 12 years now, it's worked perfect. And I know it's going to work perfect the rest of my life because I'm going to continue to say what I want, and that is good health. You know, this person that agreed, wouldn't it have been much simpler if they'd have just stood up and said, well, the enemy's been trying to put the symptoms of the flu on me and cause me to believe in it, but I stand before you tonight, and you are my witnesses before the angels and before God and before heaven that I am not sick, I'll not have the flu, by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. That settles it. Thank you. The Word says I'm healed. That's good enough for me. There would be folks with goggle eyes saying, I wonder what's wrong with her. Or wonder what's wrong with him. But when the woman stood up and said, I'm taking the flu, nobody snickered. They just said, oh, poor thing. Yeah, she's taking the flu. Can you see how dumb we've been when it comes to these things? Now, I didn't always see this. Don't think I'm saying I know I have all the answers. I don't have all of them, but thank God I'm getting them from the Word of God. Remember, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks in Matthew 12:34. That sickness and disease got in your spirit before it came out of your mouth. It was received into your spirit first. Then as you believed, you spoke. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We have also believed and therefore we speak. 2 Corinthians 4:13. James said, it'll set on fire the course of nature. It will stop the ability of God from being released within you. It will put you into bondage unless you learn to control the words of your mouth. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Proverbs 6:2. God gave you a message of deliverance. He said, you can have what you say if you believe in your heart and doubt not. And he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That ought to tell us something. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, and starting with the 11th verse, they were complaining to Jesus about his disciples eating without washing their hands. Wasn't that a big deal? He said, "Not that which goeth into the mouth which defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Now let's look at verse 18. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth comes forth from the heart, and they defile the man." Jesus is saying, what you say out of your mouth is in your heart, and when it comes out, it is set in motion. It has established your witness on the earth. The word says, "In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established." You find that in 2 Corinthians 13. The word says you're healed. The devil says you're sick. You got up and said, "I'm sick." You just established it by the words of your mouth. You agreed with the enemy. You could have just as well said, "No, just pass me up, thank you. I won't receive it." He said the words of your mouth will defile you. James said the tongue can defile the whole body. Isn't that amazing what he said? Now, creative power was in God's mouth, so it's in your mouth also. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to go out and create a world. But who knows? In eternity, we might be able to do that. But you can create a different kind of world that you live in right now by the words of your mouth, by speaking faith-filled words instead of speaking words of fear. Fear is the reverse gear of faith. Fear is produced by believing wrong things. Fear is faith in the enemy's ability. Jesus said, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things." Matthew 12:35. Where do the good things of life come from? Jesus said they come out of your heart. He didn't say they came from staying up late hours and working your fingers to the bone. He said the good things of life come out of your heart. Whatever you store there, the information you program your spirit with will produce for you. It always produces after its kind. Faith produces faith. Fearful words produce fear in abundance. When I talk about the spirit, I'm talking about the heart. The heart and the spirit are the same. The way you program your spirit with the word of God is by saying the thing God said about you in his word. So imitate God. He says be imitators of Christ in the word. Say the same thing he said. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, one of the chronic problems in the church world today is failing to recognize the authority of the word. At the first symptom of sickness, you hear them say, "I am sick." Isn't that amazing? James chapter 4, verse 7. The Lord made us an awesome promise there. He says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." To be submitted to God is to be submitted to his word. You are submitted to God, you be submitted to his word. Jesus resisted Satan with a spoken word. In Matthew 4, 7 and 10, verses 4, 7 and 10, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In verse 7, Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In verse 10, Jesus said unto the devil, Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He spoke to Satan, and he left. Now let's look here in 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Now the word says you're healed. Sickness is a curse of the law. And Galatians 3:13 says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now Matthew 8:17 says, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. Learn to read the scripture with a personal identification. Isaiah 53:5 says, With his stripes we are healed. So with his stripes, you are healed. Someone said, Yes, but you don't understand. I don't feel healed, and I really don't look healed. That person has been programmed by the world system, the five physical senses. The word is not in them. They may know about the word. They may even believe the word is true. But until it becomes a part of them, it is not in them. Yes, I do understand. You are motivated by your feelings and not by the word of God. It is very simple to resist the devil. Once you have been programmed by the word of God, God and his word are one. They agree. Learn to rise to the level of God's word by quoting what God said. Then you can boldly say, According to the word of God, I am not sick. Jesus took my sicknesses. He bore it for me. Therefore, I receive my healing through the word. Just as sure as Jesus bore your sins, he also bore your sicknesses. You have no more right to allow sickness to operate in your body than you do sin. Praise the Lord. If you have not developed your faith in the word to the level where you can receive your healing through the word, then use medical science healing. But don't allow sickness and disease to lord it over you. Use whatever means you must to get rid of it. But don't let it dominate you. If you have to take pills to get your healing, then every time you have to take a pill, say, I take this pill in the name of Jesus. You will find in the name of Jesus, it will even make your pills work twice as good. All the time, whatever, as you speak the word of God, it gets better. Now, don't let Satan condemn you over taking medication. God wants you well. Now, if your faith is not developed to that point, for God's sake, don't suffer for 30 or 40 years and say, I trusted the Lord. No, if you've suffered 30 or 40 years, you missed it somewhere. That is not God's will for you. Get some medical help. Get back on your feet. Then get in the Word of God and find out where you missed it. Learn to control circumstances instead of allowing them to control you. A few years ago, I had a man ask me, I wouldn't ask you to pray for me because I'm taking medicine. You can see how Satan has conned many good Christians into believing that if they are taking medicine, they wouldn't dare use prayer too. He realizes he can't keep you from using both, so he set out to convince you that prayer and medicine are opposed to each other. The truth is both prayer and medicine are fighting the same evil, sickness and disease. Of course, God's best for you is for you to develop your faith to the point that you receive healing through prayer and the Word of God. But not everyone's faith is developed to that level. That is one of the reasons God gave men medical knowledge. He wants people well, even though they don't know how to operate in the Word. Say this right now. God wants me well, 3 John 2. Say it again aloud. God wants me well. Confess God's Word to your body daily. Yes, talk to it. Sometimes your body wants to be sick. Don't let it be. Jesus said you can have what you say. So take time to fill your heart or your spirit with God's Word. Several times in my life, I've had people come up to me after I've developed the bold faith that I have and say, pray for me that I'll have more faith. Now, the real problem is a lack of the word in their heart. You see, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. It is unscriptural to pray that you will have more faith. God's word is filled with faith. Where his word is, your faith is there. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. When the word is absent, faith is absent. When you come under the pressure of life, that which is abundantly in your heart is going to come out, whether it is God's word or Satan's. Satan's words produce fear and unbelief in your heart. God's word produces faith in your heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Matthew 12:34. That which is formed by the tongue and spoken out of the mouth, those words will either create good or evil. They have creative power. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Matthew 12:35. But those things which proceed out of the mouth came forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile the man. Matthew 15:18. Words conceived in your heart will be formed by your tongue, and by speaking them out of your mouth, you will either release the ability of Satan or the ability of God within you. Those words will create good or evil, curse or blessings. Out of the same mouth proceed.